It's Saturday. It's, I don't know, 8th of July?
Yes, yes. Yeah, last, yeah, 8th.
And we're on our way to pick up eggs, which is the the only... This is the only time in the week where Grace and I usually have a long enough
stretch
of, like, undisturbed, uninterrupted time to record a podcast. And this isn't my ideal situation because, again, we're in the car, there's a lot of background noise, I'm trying to speak loudly.
Yeah.
I use plugins that will take away some of the noise. But it's still, I hope that it is listenable, right,
yeah.
to anyone. And I will compress it and do what I can to clean up the sound, as I always do. But anyway, the topic for today is basically an update on our understanding and experience with the COVID-19 pandemic, which is still going. And so many people feel that this is absolutely a thing of the past. Like, best guesses, best estimates we can see now, which aren't very good, are still like 6,000 people a month dying of COVID.
Oh,
at least.
Yeah, something like that.
Right.
I mean, depending on how you count. And but if you're very conservative, you're looking at 6,000.
This is based only on the numbers I'm able to see about excess deaths.
Yep.
Right, and not even broken down by COVID tests, because the COVID test data is so broken. Lacking.
Really kind of irrevocably broken.
Non-existent.
And let's be very clear that that's by design.
That's by design. We got the eggs. I'm going to be right back. I'm pausing. All right, we got our eggs. One reason... We hope that the recording is better today is that we're not running the car's AC at maximum.
Yes.
And
yes.
That is such a relief. We actually have a cooler day today.
Great.
And
God.
We've had, between the smoke, the Canadian wildfire smoke. Oh, holy shit. Sorry.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Okay, so I said that because we're driving along this dirt road out by
these
farms.
These farms, right.
And an enormous eagle just took off right.
Like the size of the hood. Like the wingspan was broad as the hood.
Like the size of a turkey vulture almost.
Right.
You know,
just
right.
Huge, just took off right in front of us.
Right, and it's flapping around it, like just a few feet away.
Right.
And it was just
kind of
astounding to see. Anyway, but yeah, it's been super hot enough to affect our health, honestly.
Yes.
And keep us indoors, and our AC has been struggling. It is working.
It's working.
But on these very hot days.
But it's been.
It's we're like I'm saying. Mid-90s with high humidity, so that the feels like is well over 100. It's
it feels like yes.
Yeah,
definitely.
And in the afternoons the AC can't keep up, and in my office where I work it's getting up to like 85, and it's just fucking miserable. Sorry,
really miserable.
Pardon my French. Yeah, the poor AC is running. Well, it may not be running that well also, because there's like a ceiling fan in there, and I turn that on, and it's spinning very slowly, even at the high setting. And I was like, what's that about? But then I look at the UPS, which is like beeping and clicking occasionally, and I see that the line voltage is like 110, not 120. So that may have something to do with it, that like the voltage is actually too low.
Right.
Because of everyone's AC on the local circuit, you know, on our
right.
local power grid. So that sucks. Anyway.
So that sucks. Moving on.
But I'm glad we have all these UPSs.
Yes.
So that to try to keep at least my work stuff up and running.
Up and running and functional.
But anyway, I'm... Blithering. But yeah, the wildfire smoke was almost to the hazardous, to the highest rating. It was is almost to 300.
Pretty bad.
AQI.
Yeah.
And with these 2.5 particulates, micrometers, I guess, which are bad for you.
Yeah, that's some bad stuff.
And people are probably not cautious enough about this shit, but...
definitely not cautious enough, because, you know...
This stuff lodges in your lungs and goes right into your bloodstream and brain and organs, these tiny, tiny particles.
It's very bad news. And I saw... So, people often talk about the Ann Arbor area, and... well, not people. Me. Talk about what a racist shithole it is. And part of my motivation for choosing our neighborhood is that I saw a lot of black children...
In the neighborhood.
Milling around in the neighborhood unsupervised.
They don't... Their parents don't feel the need to keep them locked up
and
or like watching them like a hawk, because they don't expect people to come along and harass them.
Right.
You know, whatever they do.
They expect them to be moved freely through the neighborhood. And just the other day, I did see a group of these sort of... a group of black and Hispanic teenagers on our street.
Yeah.
And they're this sort of like... middle-class teenagers that are hanging out in the summertime.
Yeah.
They were clearly on their way back from Rolling Hills, and they were smoking weed. And it was like maybe 5 or 7 kids, black and Hispanic. And, but they're also the kinds of kids whose parents use seatbelts and put helmets on them when they ride their bikes, etc.
Right.
And they were all walking around smoking weed.
In hazardous air quality.
That's
like...
So, and they really are the demographic of people who are taking precautions with their health when they're told to.
Yes.
They haven't been told to. They're not informed about that. And it's the demographic that would be getting informed and looking for that information and taking action.
Particularly particulates. See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
I don't know.
So, I noticed that. And it's disheartening.
Oh, yeah.
To be honest, it's disheartening.
And it's much better today. It's more like 50 today. But... That's still worse than it should be.
Yeah.
And
it's not good.
And it's coming in waves. When the jet stream shifts and the smoke plume shifts direction.
Mm-hmm.
And very likely it'll be back. And very likely this will continue well into the fall.
Yep.
And this is some shit. This is like, you know... The apocalypse is actually here. It's just not... Effects aren't evenly distributed yet.
Right. With zombies, all these, with zombies.
Right.
These people still continuing on as if nothing is happening. Come on!
Let's go. Let's fly to New Orleans
Let's fly to New Orleans for dinner.
Yeah.
Let's fly to New Orleans for brunch. So, it's happening.
So, anyway. But, back to the COVID topic. I did have news I wanted to share because it was exciting news, and it's something we've been trying to arrange and plan for a long time.
Oh, it's like 6 months, more than 6 months.
Yes, and I want to talk about why it's so hard to do this.
Mm-hmm.
But we got a booster of Novavax. And honestly, we both would have preferred, I think, to do a new primary series of two shots.
Yep.
Because... We believe it's been long enough, I was interested in Novavax not just because I felt like I needed a booster, because if I just felt like I needed a booster, there's mRNA bivalents out there, but I actually did not get a bivalent booster for various reasons, one of which is the places that I might have gotten it didn't seem to be doing COVID safety anymore. And getting COVID at a vaccine appointment just seemed like the most stupid, ironic situation.
I didn't want
to participate in that setup for a joke,
No, no. Especially when you're the
butt of
the
it.
Joke.
Yeah, exactly. But Novavax seemed very promising. It seemed to... The studies on it seemed like it provides longer-lasting protection. And also, people in the long COVID community have reported... That getting a Novavax shot, this is not, there's not a big study on this. There's
not
a big RCT yet, but there are anecdata.
Lots of anecdata.
In between, when it's like not just one anecdote, but it becomes many anecdotes,
mm-hmm.
that some percentage of people with long COVID symptoms see a significant improvement after Novavax injection. Yes. So we did that. And you want to talk about how and why and when and circumstances?
So it's a little over a week ago. I had been looking to get access to Novavax since last September. And it's dicey, right? And it's all around kettling folks who have already had an mRNA vaccine into taking more mRNA vaccines and actually literally blocking them from accessing any other vaccine.
And we saw something similar with Johnson & Johnson.
Yes, which is actually just no longer exists anymore. It's off the market, it no longer exists.
Right, and it's in Michigan, there is, besides all the
federal issues
and whatnot, there is this like issue of the fact that Pfizer is at least ostensibly headquartered in Michigan.
Oh yes, a lot of people, it's their employer in some capacity,
and so they're supporting their local employer, you know, which doesn't help any because
it's a bias.
Yeah,
it's a significant bias,
right?
And in this local environment.
To me, there are lots of anti-vax arguments floating around. I'm not particularly an anti-vaxxer. I don't really identify that way. But I think we need to look at the effectiveness of various literal products on the market, right? And to me, there's not a good argument. I don't have a good argument to ever get a Pfizer mRNA vax of any type again.
No.
I just don't.
There isn't a good one. I mean, unless they're going to have something where they administer it every 4 months.
Yeah.
Or like every 3 to 4 months, you're eligible for another Pfizer booster.
Yeah.
And then there are some big questions about, what that means.
I'm really concerned, actually, about this phenomenon called original antigenic sin and how your exposure to this multiple doses of this either identical or very similar formulation can prime your immune system to react only to the initial strain and not mount a really good neutralization response to an evolved strain. And we know that the virus is mutating rapidly.
Yes.
And so I wanted personally to try. What's the technical nature of the Novavax? I can't remember the phrase.
It's a protein subunit vaccine.
Protein subunit, okay. Yeah. So it does not use this. I'm not entirely opposed to experimentation with mRNA as a vaccine technology. I just didn't see it work very well, right?
We haven't.
I don't believe that it causes these massive side effects. It doesn't make you susceptible to mind control via 5G. It doesn't quantum entangle you with other vaccine recipients, right?
Yeah,
you
know, I've not seen that happen.
Right. But doesn't seem that effective.
The government psyops do that. That's another story entirely.
Yeah, right. But this one is actually, it's a more traditional design.
It's a more traditional design with which we are much more familiar.
It's a more, so you could say it's a more time-tested technology.
It's a reliable time-tested technology that is extremely similar to Soberana 2 in Cuba.
Yeah, and it's not so easy for an American citizen to go get a Cuban vaccine. But if it had been easier, that is absolutely what we would have gone for.
We would have actually just gone to Cuba and gotten everyone vaccinated with Soberana 2.
Yes.
Because they did not reopen things until they had vaccinated all their children.
Yeah.
Right? And actually, they reopened with masking and Soberana 2.
And Cuba, a place where capitalism by definition isn't quite the driving force, especially monopolistic capitalism, isn't quite the driving force of public health that it is here. We believe they actually do follow the science, you know, they're better at it,
they're better able to follow the science.
Yes.
I mean, they have their own political issues,
of course.
But they're better able to follow the science
public health,
with this caveat, right? The science does indicate depending on your persuasion about what you want to use science for. But hey, maybe just like killing a swath of the population off is a good idea. Like, so, you know, if you think that's a good idea, then you're following the science right now in the U.S. Yeah. But if that's not your presupposition, and that's not your sort of like philosophical frame, then what we're doing now has no correlation with any scientific evidence. Right. Like, none.
Right. And, you know, like, as far as... I don't actually regret getting an original series mRNA vax at one booster. Mm-hmm. But I did try to get a mixed booster. In other words, I tried to get a J&J booster because there was some evidence that mixing vaccines actually produced a better immunity, produced a better outcome.
A better immune response, yes.
Right? And I was like, yeah, I want to try and follow the science. And that's there was some science there to follow.
Right.
But I actually had a bait and switch happen where they told me that they had J&J ready, and I showed up. This was right before Christmas 2021.
Yes.
And I showed up to get a booster, and they did a bait and switch and said,
when you were sitting in the chair ready to get, they're like, oh, we don't have that. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
There's none of that. We don't have that here.
We don't have that.
When we called it confirmed repeatedly.
Yeah, we only have Pfizer. And I was very pissed off, but at the same time, we were about to go into the Christmas holidays. And
you were already in there. You'd already exposed yourself to this environment.
And I also, I needed vaccine documentation for employment.
For employment.
So I threw up my hands in rage and just like, all right, fuck it, just give me the goddamn booster, which was not the bivalent, it was literally the same shot.
Just the same shot, again.
And I'm concerned that this has primed my immune system, actually that primed my immune system to long COVID susceptibility when exposed to Omicron,
to a new strain,
which was not covered well by that shot. You know? Right. So, anyway, in January of 2022, there weren't any boosters that covered Omicron because it was they cannot pivot that quickly.
They can't pivot that quickly. And this is the
even the flu shot they do an annual.
They do an annual flu shot, and they try to make a prediction based on tracking and monitoring about what will be prevalent and tailor a vaccine for that prevalence that they're anticipating.
Yeah.
They don't always get it right, which, you know, we know that. It's not like that's kind of failure exactly.
Right.
They don't always make the right prediction. It's like predicting the weather.
And the evidence from the flu also, one of these is not actually a coronavirus. It's not actually a coronavirus. But, I can't remember. Like, there are some common cold coronaviruses and some non-coronavirus. Anyway, but the evidence there's a lot of good reason to believe that this strategy of trying to chase COVID mutations,
chase variants
with periodic vaccinations, whatever period
whatever the period is 3 months or 1 year,
will not be successful. It can't be successful.
Oh, and just a side note, the thing we're talking about where you have a nearly no mitigation vaccine site.
Yes.
This has actually been studied with influenza.
Yes.
Because people widely report, I'm sure you have heard, people say,
I got
the flu shot, gave me the flu.
Right.
And so epidemiologists have responded to that widespread anecdata.
Yes.
And what we found by studying is that people routinely catch the flu getting their flu vaccine.
Because guess what? People, this is not what you're supposed to do.
Right.
But people go there when they're sick.
They go
to get the shot because they're like, oh, I feel like the flu's coming on. I better get a shot for the season. Doesn't really help to.
Like,
it takes days to weeks to develop a real immunity to that your strain from the vaccination. So you're probably going to still go through your whole
process of illness.
Your whole acute illness of the flu, and layer onto that whatever response you have to the vaccine, itself.
Right?
So it's probably going to actually make you feel sicker to do
right.
that.
Right. So that's a documented thing that we understand, that if you are administering flu vaccinations without mitigations right. against flu,
right.
people will catch the flu when they get the vaccine, and yeah. then their assumption is, which is it's not irrational, that they had flu symptoms from their flu shot.
Would you briefly describe the scenario where you don't have to give the name of the place or whatnot, but like what the circumstances was of us getting the shots and what their mitigations were, like what their environment was like?
Oh, so yeah. So I am going to say this much. It's an apothecary. It's a compounding pharmacy.
It's a small pharmacy.
So it's a small...
Independent
compounding pharmacy.
Yeah.
And compounding is important. They do a lot of... they provide pharmaceuticals for natural and complementary medicine.
Yes.
In addition to mainstream pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they usually have compounding in the name.
Like if you get a script for like B vitamin injections for a child or something, they'll mix it up.
And that's what they mean by compounding.
Something like that.
But high ceilings, the people there masked when anyone came in. They didn't seem to be masking for themselves, right?
No.
But
it was also, there's only one person there. There were two.
There were two people there. And we were the only patrons in the building along with them.
Right, until we were waiting to leave,
right?
Yeah.
And plenty of air exchanges. I could hear the ventilation. I don't know if they have filtration.
Yeah.
And reasonably safe. They also had a humidifier keeping the room at 40% humidity.
Okay. Well, the humidity was higher than that outside anyway.
The humidity was higher than that, but no, 40% yeah. humidity is what data has shown reduces the transmission of disease.
Yes.
It is not COVID specific.
Yeah, drier is actually worse, oddly enough.
Right.
It's a little counterintuitive.
It's a little counterintuitive.
If you think that maybe the humidity keeps the droplets aloft and survivable, but it's not quite like that.
It's not quite like that. There's a sweet spot, and it's 40% humidity.
Yeah.
So I know that number, so when I saw their humidifier set to 40% humidity, you know, it's clearly a mitigation that they're engaging on purpose.
Yeah. So somebody actually smart
was making some decisions.
Set that up.
Right, yeah. Somebody set that up on purpose. And they were someone who'd done the reading. And then it was a sort of, what do you call it? It wasn't complicated. It wasn't a hassle. We gave them our ID, our information. They recorded it on our cards. Your vaccine card.
Insurance cards and vaccine cards.
Yes. So they used insurance, and they used our vaccine cards, and they wanted ID.
Uh-huh.
One of our children went with us that does not have ID, and that was fine. We were prepared to be vouched for her. The other piece of information, this was very telling to me. They gave us a document to contact health authorities with any side effects we were experiencing. Whatever we experienced, please record that and just get in touch there and make a note of what your experiences are over the first week of your after been vaccinated.
You pointed out that this was not just a reference to VAERS.
No, this is not VAERS.
That was interesting to me because so many people cite raw VAERS data as like, do you see how many people like
had this?
They got a vaccine and then they fell off a ski lift and died.
I'm just saying.
Or whatever.
So, and I don't want to like get into mocking anti-vaxxers.
No, but people use raw VAERS data. Yeah. To make some kind of claim, and they look at the total numbers, and they're like, oh my God, this caused... In other words, they look at these raw reports, and they basically don't interpret them. They believe that this must mean that every one of these claims represents a clear and true, you know, negative side effect.
Negative effect.
Yeah.
This is actually not VAERS. It's something they do for emergency use authorization pharmaceuticals. So this is the thing, and people have talked about this sort of fine point.
Yeah.
That all of the vaccines we've been using to date are emergency use authorization. As in, they haven't passed final review.
Yes.
They haven't had stage four trials. And they are, by definition, not fully authorized.
Yes.
Right? So that...
And this also protects the companies making them for liability.
It does that. Okay, so the next step is, during that period of emergency use authorization, they want to collect data that is not FAERS data, but very specific data about what happens to a large population immediately after vaccination. What you'll have is the initial data gives them the information to make specific warnings. And as they receive more data, they either increase warnings, alter warnings, or ultimately, like if it's really bad, decide to change formulations and or not issue this anymore.
Right.
That happened with the pertussis vaccine, just to be very clear.
Yes, it's useful. This is a real...
It's a useful process.
Feedback mechanism.
And it's a real feedback mechanism that causes industry to change formulations, withdraw formulations altogether, and say, free Palestine, and then...
with penny purchase. No,
stop
it just
that.
Passed a sign.
We just passed a sign, free Palestine sign. So that's what this process is. We had never received that document for the Pfizer vaccine or the J&J. That documentation was not even offered to us.
Interesting. I just found it interesting.
Found it interesting and was offered to us. And she said specifically, since you've been vaccinated before, you've probably already seen this, you still need to do it.
Like, no.
No, we've not seen this before. And she was like, this is the first time you've gotten this document? I said, yes.
Yes, and we've got between us, you know, multiple shots,
right? Yeah. So, but that never happened. But this pharmacy for this vaccine was making that available.
So they were probably following the actual, like, rules.
The actual rules.
Yeah. Anyway.
Right.
So we're running a little short on time in this leg
time
of our errand, but yeah. I want to ask specifically side effects you noted from Nova?
Sore arm.
Yeah.
Shortly after, like almost immediately gone.
Anything else noticeable?
There was something you mentioned you had that I thought I also had too, something about, like, was it joint?
Yeah, I should just say almost any vaccine I get, I usually wind up with a day or two of malaise. I do have a sore arm for a while. It's not bad. I mean, it's not, like, terrible. It hurts to lift that arm, or, like, especially if I raise it outwards from my body, then I'm stressing that muscle that it was literally injected into, right?
I didn't even have that.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that wasn't joint pain. Low-grade fever.
You had a low-grade fever?
Like, 99, 100.
Yeah.
Low-grade fever.
Okay, so... And I had the joint pain. There, I had the vaccine site pain, very very mild and swelling. It only lasted for a little while. Mm-hmm. Went away actually mostly that day.
Yes.
Which was that doesn't happen with a flu shot. For a flu shot, it usually lasts me a weekend. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And then I did have a little bit of what felt like joint inflammation and a little bit of maybe very low grade fever. I didn't even take my temp because it felt so low.
Yeah.
But
I take my temperature a lot.
Yeah. I should just say, these things are all perfectly normal, within our normal range for
any vaccine.
And actually was milder than I usually get.
Yes.
So
definitely mild.
That was promising. Unfortunately, we're here at the store, and my phone is ringing like, who the hell is calling?
Who
is
even calling? What kind of the audacity?
Yeah, nobody calls like to talk with their mouths anymore.
That's so bizarre.
That's weird. Anyway, I want to wind up, but then I want to, not going to stop it quite yet, because I want to talk about, it's not been very long, but mm-hmm. whether you've noticed anything that you might attribute to improvement in, like, long COVID symptoms.
I feel some brain fog is lifting. I'm also feeling like some of the fatigue is gone. Not all the fatigue.
Yeah.
There's this thing where you feel kind of like you need to go to sleep all day.
Yeah.
I've stopped feeling like I need to go to sleep all day. other kinds of fatigue where you, mm-hmm. like low energy, low capacity.
Yeah, that's still there.
That's still there. Yeah. But that sensation like, you know, I should just go back to bed. Yeah. That's gone.
I'm going to talk about a gross subject very briefly.
Oh, go for it.
Which is that I, on like day three or something, I passed some mucus in my stool, which is unusual for me.
Mm-hmm.
And not a lot, but like it just suggests that maybe something's going on in my gut, some kind of warfare. And
warfare.
That would be really interesting if this vax succeeded in triggering, like, in my, because apparently there's some evidence that COVID can linger, COVID infection can linger in your gut. And we take probiotics and all that, and that maybe helps, but it doesn't seem to have, like, wiped it out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if this is evidence that there's this warfare is means my body is winning now.
I told you it was an old wives' tale, like an old mom's tale, quite literally.
Right.
That
indicates that infection is ending.
Is resolving.
I also have seen, like, how long it's been. End of week two?
No, it's only been a week.
It's been 1 week.
It's been 1 week.
I'm getting more arthritis symptoms in my fingers, mm-hmm. which happens sometime.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells me that's an inflammatory response.
Yes.
Right.
Well, and yeah, you get an inflammatory, if your immune system has been dampened,
yeah.
and you experience something that allows it to reawaken,
yes.
You will have an inflammatory response throughout your body.
Yeah, a week later, which yes. means that it's not the initial...
It's not the initial
reaction to the vaccine itself.
Mm-hmm.
So something's going on. It's a little hard to tell because my long COVID symptoms wax and wane normally.
Yes,
right?
You have good days and you have bad days. You have good weeks and you have bad weeks.
And they seem also, in general, very tied to how much restful sleep I'm able to get.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But the tingling in my feet... Tingling and burning in my feet has improved a little bit, although they still feel bad sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I do agree with you. I didn't mention it before, but that my energy level and my so-called brain fog, you know, has lifted a little bit, which is COVID does different things to the brain. One of them is actual brain damage, like permanent brain damage,
shrinkage,
and these cells like gluing themselves together. It's really,
I didn't have any spare, Paul.
It's really horrifying. Me neither. It's like this especially worries me, not in terms of being a little dulled, you know, or whatnot, mm-hmm. but in like a little slowed, but in terms of being able to do my job, because I, after 40 years of programming, I'm a very, very high performing software engineer, right? Who can out program almost everyone I've ever met in a work setting.
Right.
And if I can't do that anymore, or like I'm dramatically impaired at that, that's bad news for the rest of my career.
Yeah.
Right. So that's been worrying me a lot. But yeah, then there's also some of what you call brain fog, I think, is brain damage, like we've described.
Yes.
And some of it, I think, is actually just like impaired circulation.
An inflammatory response where your circulation isn't...
Which is probably recoverable.
That's recoverable. The brain damage is not.
So just having like low circulation to your brain on a given day that isn't bad enough to cause cell death or whatnot, but it just means like your brain cells aren't functioning at top...
capacity.
Normal. I don't know. I'm not a neurologist, but that's my impression.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem like I'm getting a little clarity back. I'm still not able to read very well, and this is really concerning me, because I was a person who was frequently reading as many as 7 books simultaneously. And when I was recording it, I read well over a book a week on average.
On average.
And
yeah,
not a little book.
No. You plod through the reading, it's true.
And since then, since long COVID symptoms began, I've barely completed probably 6 books.
Yeah.
And they're not even big books, and I've given up more books than I finished.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, But this, it seems like I can't attribute this and say this absolutely has cured, you know, in some sense.
Or even a full remission.
Or even a full remission. But it seems like promising so far.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to overstate it. And also, I don't want to overstate, we're still living in a very dangerous pandemic where if we, like, we get rid of one strain in our bodies, but we're constantly exposed to more strains that Novavax wasn't tailored to cover because it's also old?
Yes, but what we found about the subunit protein vaccines...
It's a little broader.
Their protection is broader.
Yeah.
That's what we found about Soberana 2, and that's what the evidence is for Novavax as well.
Yeah.
They have broader protection. And Novavax is releasing an updated vaccine for this fall.
Yeah. I want to mention just in terms of the overall arc. So the reason we got it on that Friday...
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
They expired on July 30th. The whole supply that's... Pardon me, June 30th. The supply that was in circulation expired...
In the U.S.
In the U.S. Expired on June 30th.
So it was literally our last possible day.
Last possible day to get it before they release new ones in the fall.
The only reason we were able to get it locally without having to go out of state and lie...
Mm-hmm.
was because they changed the guidelines on what kind of booster you were allowed to get.
Yes. So if you are, and specifically, there's a specific line that says, if you've received XYZ vaccine in the past, the mRNA or the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, and you refuse to get another one, then you may choose to have a Novavax.
Now, most pharmacists and practitioners don't know this. Because they're not publicizing it. Because of Pfizer. Squatting on the whole industry like a giant malignant fart, you know, like...
Yeah.
Tumor, anyway. But...
Yeah.
Or just, to put it more politely, they have a near monopoly.
A near monopoly in this region.
And especially their marketing.
And especially, I think, in Washington County where we live.
And they... They like, let's just say also that they offer perks to so many physicians that people don't want to even consider going against.
And is that even less, it's even more subtle than perks, right?
Yeah.
Our own health department has a bias in favor of Pfizer.
Yeah.
And as soon as you cross the county line to Wayne, because we were in Wayne County.
Right.
And as soon as you cross the county line to Monroe County, they're like, you know.
Ohio.
Well, it's Monroe County, Michigan, and then you know the reason the Ohio's on the docket at all because their system is not connected to Michigan's system, so they can't just look up that we've received the vaccine before.
Right. So we could have, we did consider going to an out-of-state pharmacy and lying, say no, we've never had a vaccine before.
Yeah, give us our Novavax series.
To get a primary.
To get a primary.
But we'd have to go back to get a second shot.
We'd have to go back to get a second shot, and. If we had chosen to lie and go out of state, we probably could have gotten everyone 12 and up.
Yeah.
Because it's authorized for that as a primary vaccine. But we would have had to lie. We would have had to...
take days off work.
Take days off work, etc. It would have been a whole production.
Big rigmarole.
And for me, I would have had to ask my children who are morally culpable to...
To lie.
To lie.
Right.
To participate in a lie. To actually participate in a lie. Which I'm just... I'm not
we
here
don't,
for.
We don't want to train them in that. That's not the example we want to set. So we did this. But I think it's interesting news that EU just approved Novavax.
Yes.
And is planning a rollout. And you
Full approval.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's actually appropriate to trust, say, Germany's public health decision-making... Over America's.
Oh, yeah, over America's, definitely, yeah.
So.
But what I will, and I've got to say about that, though, is this is something that I was saying about Soberana 2 in when it was very nascent, and they were still,
mm-hmm.
like, doing those preliminary things, like, looks like 90, 95% efficacy kind of tests, right?
Yeah.
That they were actually aiming for. They were aiming for something that's more sterilizing, reduces transmission.
Right.
They were aiming for something, and which, in this case, the closest you're going to get to an actual sterilizing vaccine is a targeted nasal vaccine. I'm not going to have that separate conversation right now.
But that also only lasts a short while.
Lasts a short while. Yeah. But for an an intramuscular injection. That's a protein subunit vaccine that does this. And it's a very well-established piece of technology.
Yeah.
And it's where Cuba started because it's cheap to make, it's easy to refrigerate, it's easy to transport.
Right.
So I suspected that after Pfizer made a ton of money, the United States would quietly pivot.
Yes.
Without saying anything about the pivot.
Right, right.
To protein subunit vaccines.
I can imagine that Pfizer will just release an updated version, yeah, which actually no longer uses mRNA.
Exactly.
It was trumpeted so much as this huge breakthrough, but yet we haven't seen a lot of them, anyone rolling out a lot of other successful mRNA vaccines.
Not really. I mean, it is being used for other things. It's being tested, yeah, and experimented with.
Yeah.
And I think that's something really important to understand about this. Is that for Pfizer, it's really not just about the earnings. It's about having a proprietary position with this technology and having a really broad database on what it does and how it does it.
Yeah.
And so this was a huge opportunity to get that kind of information.
And they don't want to
accept any liability
about
that's
it. Not, well, that, but they also don't want to have something that they can be willing to share with other countries.
Precisely. So they want it proprietary, they want a huge data set, and they want us to pay them for doing the research.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than investing in the
hence
research.
Hence this warp speed, hence all this federal funding all tied federal. Up with Pfizer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Versus, say, J&J's vaccine, which, you know, between the two was the better vaccine.
Yeah. It.
Full stop.
Yeah, okay. So, again, like, don't get it twisted. I personally am not an anti-vaxxer in general. I want to see effective and appropriate use of this tool in a toolkit of many things.
Many mitigations.
But the non-pharmaceutical interventions, honestly, are cheaper and easier and have far fewer side effects.
Non-pharmaceutical inventions are king.
And we always be trying to promote that first. Literally, the vaccine is a backup for when all those NPIs fail.
Right, the vaccine is your last resort
intervention. Right.
Absolute last resort intervention.
And for the Biden administration and the Trump administration to basically promote this as the only intervention, really, that we were going to do long-term that has, with any consistency, is just reprehensible.
It's more depraved. It's absolutely depraved.
Yeah. It's, and, yeah, and unscientific.
Well, and let me give you the clear example, NPIs versus pharmaceuticals. And this will be my last bit. So you know Haiti had a terrible cholera problem. And it's starting to resurge in the wake of COVID, but they had a terrible cholera situation.
Yes.
And Western countries wanted to give them a very... because there is a cholera vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted to distribute as aid. And I think most of you already know the problems with aid, federal aid and overseas aid.
Yeah.
They wanted to distribute cholera vaccines, and they wanted to have American or Western contractors do large infrastructure projects in Haiti.
Yes, yes.
And Haiti
should sound familiar because it's basically how we got rich both by destroying Iraq and then doing a shitty job rebuilding Iraq.
Right? Like, it's a thing. It's a thing we do.
It's a pattern.
It's a pattern. And Haiti said no to that. Haiti's got a long history of saying no.
Yes.
And Western response says, well,
sucks,
good luck dying.
Sucks to be you.
Sucks to be you. Good luck dying from cholera.
Yeah.
Haitians built outhouses and used human waste composting to basically eradicate their localized epidemic of cholera.
They literally it out of the water supply.
Right. They literally just dug shitholes.
It gives new meaning to waste stream.
Am I right? Okay, so they literally just dug a shithole, and they dug them everywhere. And they used hand labor with unskilled people to make this intervention to remove fecal waste
from
the water supply.
Yeah.
They did this everywhere. They did it consistently. They made them public. They made them free. If you need to poop, go here. If you don't have functioning plumbing in your house, please use these.
Yeah. Yes.
And they, so they did that.
They were innovating new ways of making public toilets that will automatically charge your PayPal account or whatever.
Right, right. No, this was none of that. They just made sure people had a place to shit.
Yes.
That was literally the intervention.
Yeah. An awful lot of, historically, an awful lot of the most effective public health interventions just involve shit. Right?
Just involve shit.
And there's no prettifying it, right?
Right, there's really no, that's it, right?
It's that basic.
And so, because you can't shit where you eat, you just can't.
Yes.
Yeah. No matter what capitalism says.
Right.
That intervention saved countless lives. It cost them almost nothing.
Yes.
And they did that by themselves.
They didn't need mRNA technology to do that.
Meanwhile, capitalists wanted them to use their shitty vaccine.
Yeah.
The cholera vaccine is about as effective as a COVID vaccine 6 months out.
Yeah.
It's almost nothing.
Yeah.
So, and it doesn't protect small children who are most at risk.
Right.
So, I think that's all we need to know about NPIs versus pharmaceuticals. Sure, it's great. Don't get me wrong. Don't get it twisted. I'm terrified about... We're about to run out of antibiotics and oxycodone.
Oh, yeah. There's this...
We're, like, less than 6 months out.
By the way, this is Pfizer that is running out of antibiotics.
Am I right? Okay, I'm just saying. Yeah. So, we're less... And that's a terrible thing. It's the worst possible news.
Yeah.
That we're in 6 months of being out of these pharmaceuticals.
Yeah. Meanwhile, we've had broken the world record for hottest day 4 days in a row.
Go us!
Anyway.
So...
Here we are running our car, though.
So, but seriously, that's the situation with pharmaceuticals versus NPIs.
Yeah.
NPIs applied consistently as a cultural norm.
Yes.
Which, I'm sorry, haters, that involves shame.
Yeah. That's how you teach people.
And people want to split hairs and say it's peer pressure and this and that and it's not really shame and blah, 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 and shame doesn't change behavior. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
It's a separate conversation we need to have about psychiatry and how effective their studies are.
Right.
That said...
Right.
Really, NPIs and their cultural widespread social implementation are extraordinarily effective.
Right.
It's huge, huge impact. And it really... pharmaceutical inventions are dwarfed by what NPIs can do, carried out consistently and broadly.
That's so there is a plan to release a bivalent or updated Novavax, in the U.S. in the fall.
Yes.
And enough people are paying attention now that I think that will happen and that will be made available in a more widespread way.
Mm-hmm.
And if you choose, consulting with your physician and whatever your specific health concerns are, et cetera, et cetera, if you choose to pursue a vaccination, I'm going to recommend that you look into Novavax as a viable decision and possibly a more effective decision than just getting another round of mRNA boosters from Pfizer.
I will say this.
But don't have to. I cannot unequivocally recommend any COVID vaccines.
This is what I
can
will
unequivocally
say.
Recommend a rabies vaccine if you're exposed to rabies.
Absolutely.
Right.
No hesitation there.
I cannot absolutely unequivocally recommend any COVID vaccine for everyone.
Yes.
Make this, between you, God, and your doctor.
You have that conversation.
Right.
I will say this, that if you're considering getting vaccinated for COVID already,
yeah,
and there's something that you want to do,
yeah,
J&J mm-hmm. was a significantly better vaccine than any of the mRNA vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
And Novavax or any protein subunit vaccine is better than J&J.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Okay. All right. So we're going to wind it up.
Yeah, that's it. That's what I got to say.
Okay. Thank you all for listening. I thought that was good. So we'll get this out as soon as I can, and we're going to do the rest of our grocery pickup, and then it's movie night.
Movie night!
Have a good day, everybody.
Take care and stay safe, guys.
Bye-bye.